Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. We have both this podcast, Life After Corporate, and our Life After Corporate Club on Clubhouse. And that's the place to be if you're making a move from the corporate or nonprofit world to launching your own coaching, consulting, or service business. We have an amazing community of smart and accomplished women who want to make an impact with their work, who see a mission and vision that is bigger than themselves, and who want to accomplish more than they can in their day job. And today, I am beyond excited to welcome a special guest to Life After Corporate. I'll be introducing you to my friend Heidi Solomon, who is the VP of Global Sales for VXI and also the founder of Girls Who Sell. That's G-I-R-L-Z, Who Sell. Heidi recently launched Girls Who Sell while she was a member of the Launch Lab. She is an amazing force for good in teaching girls that sales is a path to the C-suite. And as someone who started her career in sales, I agree 100%. Sales taught me so much, and we'll be sharing more about why we believe more young women should consider sales a career as a way to grow their confidence and influence and open many doors to success. I am super excited to share this special guest with you here today. Welcome, Heidi, to Life After Corporate.
Thank you so much, Deb, for having me.
I am so excited to have this conversation with you. And different than some of my other guests in the past, you are still in corporate.
I am. And so, you know, when I started Launch Lab, I had this nugget of a vision of how I could marry my expertise in B2B sales. I've been in sales for, gosh, well over 30 years and have been blessed to be very successful in that career. But it was something that I fell into and that I did not have a lot of female mentors along the way. And so what I wanted to do is I had this really just a nugget of an idea of how do I marry my 30 years of B2B sales experience with my passion for mentoring young women. And I was fortunate enough that you came into my life and helped me formalize a plan. But yes, I haven't quite made that full-time jump from corporate to entrepreneurship, but you have certainly kind of showed me the way and guided me down a path that makes that a possible reality.
Well, you are such a force, Heidi. First of all, you are an award-winning sales executive, top in your field, and you still found the time to focus on this passion. And really, for me, watching you, it was like a record launch. It seemed like it was only like 2 or 3 months, and you were inviting us to the big unveiling of Girls Who Sell. So I think it would be really helpful for our listeners to understand, how did you do that? I mean, what were the steps that you took doing this as a side hustle? And, you know, share with us from the very beginning, what was the inkling of the idea of launching Girls Who Sell? And what were the steps that you took along the way? And how did you manifest that so quickly?
Well, I guess it's part of my personality, which you might think is great. Sometimes I think it's not so great, but it is who I am. And I believe that people make time for things in their life that are important and that they're passionate about. And so for me, it was, you know, really just trying to carve out the appropriate amount of time to create a business that I felt whose time had come and was something that the world needed. But to, you know, kind of rewind, You know, in 2019, as you know, Deb, I went through a very transformational time in my life, both from a career perspective and a personal perspective. At the time, I was CEO for a small BPO company out of Guyana, and I was super excited with the work that we were doing in the country, particularly to move the needle for young women. But at the same time, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and my mother was sick and had heart failure. And so I was faced with a personal decision to either, you know, continue, you know, traveling back and forth in Guyana, or to pivot back to an individual contributor role in sales and focus on taking care of family. And I decided that the latter was important and that I would never have the time back with my family. And I was very fortunate that VXI was willing to take me back and reintegrate me as a part of their sales organization. And so after the passing of both my parents in November, I really took a step back. Not only, you know, was that a super emotional and somewhat, you know, devastating time in my life to have both my parents die within 10 days of each other, but I also turned 60 that year, which was a big milestone. And so I really began to think about purpose and think about, you know, how do I give back and how do I make a broader contribution to the world? And I knew that trying to find a way to leverage my expertise in sales with my passion for mentoring and sponsoring young women was, you know, the way to go. I just didn't know what it was going to look like. And so on a Sunday afternoon, I was sitting and I was reading an article, a Harvard Business Review article, which, Deb, I'm sure you're familiar with, on how women are the future of B2B sales. And my first reaction was, you know, why the future, right? Like, I've been doing B2B sales for many, many years. But the article was fabulous, talking about how women have the innate skill set to be successful in sales. And frankly, the numbers show that we're better at it. And so, you know, for me, the big question is, and why is there such a gender gap today? And why does it, the field of sales, whether, you know, in any specific industry, tend to still be so male dominated? And by the end of the day, Girls Who Sell was born. And I knew that this was my mission and my purpose. And so I discovered the Launch Lab because I really needed some guidance on how to take my idea from concept to reality. And to, you know, I'd never, to be honest, run a company before. I'd spent, you know, my entire life in corporate. And while I'd made a big impact, being an entrepreneur and running your own business is very different. And so I realized that I needed to find a coach and someone like yourself, Deb, and the kind of formal program that Launch Lab provides to help me take my concept and make it in reality. And then, you know, once I began to talk about it and put it out into the universe, the reaction was so phenomenal. It just started to take on a life of its own. And I had no choice. I had to, you know, people were like dragging me along the way. It's like, okay, I guess this is it. And so, you know what, I contacted you in October, right?
That's Deb, right.
And by January, we had our official launch. And I guess the rest is history. It's blown up and I'm getting so much support for the business and for the concept. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, there were so many gems in what you just shared, too. I think for me, too, my big reveal about becoming a CEO and becoming an entrepreneur and launching my own business came from a point of tragedy. It was a point when I was getting a divorce. My marriage was falling apart. I had been very successful in the corporate world and had been traveling a lot. And my mother's dementia was increasing. She was rapidly losing her memory and we were going to have to move her somewhere else. And at the same time, physically, just menopause was just wreaking havoc in my body. And so I was at that point in my life too. I was in my mid-50s saying, you know, is this it? Is this how I want to spend my time? And do I have a bigger purpose? And I think it's in those quiet moments of reflection when somehow life as usual isn't usual anymore, that we start seeking for more. And then the answer is kind of what I love about your story is that once you started opening up to the possibility of a different future or making a bigger impact, then the seeds of the path just kind of open up before you. It's like breadcrumbs are dropping. The HBR article, you know, discovering me, us having that conversation. And then, of course, all the positive reflection and enthusiasm that has been the reception of Girls Who Sell. So I just wanted to pull that nugget out because sometimes people just say, hey, how do you start? You know, I have a pull of a bigger mission, but I don't know how to do it. And I think it's those quiet moments of reflecting on what is it that's meant for me to do? What am I passionate about? What impact do I want to make?
Yeah, and I think it comes from your passion. And I guess my advice or, you know, is, and I know this is easier said than done. I know this is the pot calling the kettle black because, you know, throughout my career, I think I had a lot of other moments when I thought about transitioning to entrepreneurship or launching a business and it wasn't the right time. And so I think, you know, just doing it, if you have that idea, and even if you do start it as a side hustle, if you are not in a position to be able to perhaps pivot 100% from corporate to entrepreneurship, you can still do things and make a difference in the world. And so, you know, I guess I mitigated and still am mitigating my risk at the moment while I'm launching this and it's still in pre-revenue stage, right? Mm-hmm. But I know that I now have the confidence that I actually can be a full-time entrepreneur and that I do have the skills to run a business. And yeah, so I guess, you know, just do it, take the step and move through the fear, you know, even if, you know, do it anyway, even if you're afraid.
Yeah, I think especially when we are afraid, I think the fear gets loudest when we're about to do something big. Let's talk a little bit about sales. Let's talk about sales and women in sales. You dropped a hint that women are better at it. And I know for my own personal career journey, I had never imagined I would have a sales career. It didn't occur to me. I was a teacher, so I had gotten my degree in education. And I was teaching at a time where teachers were really struggling to get paid well. Like garbage collectors were paid more than teachers in 1982 when I first started working. And you laugh at this, Heidi, because you know we're of a similar generation. Office automation was a buzzword, right? It was just happening. And my local high school, where I went to high school, was offering classes in word processing and computer programming. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. I'll go take some continuing ed classes. And that got me opened up a whole new world of technology. So long story short, I end up at Gartner, which is the technology advisory company, the biggest technology advisory company in the world. And in a sales job. And it was very, very interesting starting in inside sales, which is, you know, kind of customer service, handholding, renewing, and then going out as a field sales executive. And what surprised me most was the relationships that I would create with my clients that, you know, they loved seeing me and having conversations with me. And it was a fun job for the time that I had it. So why do you say women are better?
Well, so the numbers speak for themselves, right? And there's lots of different statistics that I can spout off to you. But, you know, I guess just a few are, you know, women are 5% more likely to close a deal versus a man in the same role, right? We have an 11% higher annual win rate over our male counterparts, and we have a much higher probability of moving deals through the stages of the pipeline, the next stage of the sales cycle. I think the numbers are, you know, women are, you know, 54% of deals move to the next stage versus 49% of men. And at the end of the day, that you know, translates into real revenue, right? And so, you know, that's one thing. But I think for me, and in the, you know, hundreds of interviews that I've done while I was in Launch Lab and focusing on launching my business, the thing that I realized that the Harvard Business Review article touched on is that women really do have the innate skill set to be successful in sales. You know, we are relationship oriented, right? And mm-hmm. sales is about relationships. We have attention to detail. The statistics show that women, and you touched on this, you know, that there's a trust factor with women. We are problem solvers. We're solution oriented. So all of the things, and I just touched on a few, but all of the things that and areas that it takes for an individual to be successful, particularly in a complex B2B sales role, you know, comes naturally to a woman. And so, I think that's why we're better at it, right? At the end of the day, I like to say that, you know, people buy from people they like, but I've often said that people buy from people that they trust, and that trust factor, you know, with women is really important.
So why don't more young women consider careers in sales? So what's the problem that girls who sell solves?
So, you know, sales really just, I mean, when you look at the courses, even at the college level, and as I've been speaking with colleges around the United States in particular, I mean, I think today there's only about 29 colleges that have any kind of formalized sales program or sales certification program. It's emerging, but usually, you know, maybe there's a course in, you know, under the business umbrella or psychology umbrella or marketing umbrella, but it just hasn't been positioned as a viable and intentional career choice for young women. So I think that's one problem. The second problem is that as I've interviewed women, a lot of women have this very negative perception of sales. It's sort of, you know, for lack of a better way of positioning it, you know, it's this, you know, used car mentality, and it's like, oh, you're going to go kill it. And it's all about commissions, and it's an old boys club, you know, and all of that. And I think that we need to dispel, and this part of what Girls Who Sell is doing is that negative perception in sales and position it as a career choice that allows you to really move the needle, to be able to solve business challenge, business problems and create solutions. And I don't think sales in general is positioned like that. If it was, that it would attract more women. The third problem that I see is the way sales not only is positioned, but the way it's advertised. So if you look at recruiting ads today, they're not gender neutral, right? And they're all about, you know, they're very male oriented, you know, using the language that, you know, might be more attractive to a male candidate than a female candidate. And I think two things happen. One is women just don't relate to that, right? Because they want to be a part of a team and they want to make a difference and they want to contribute. And that is not the tone of the ads. And so one, they're just turned off to it in general, and two, the criteria that is spelled out in terms of what a corporation is looking for an individual in a sales role, even in early stage career, you know, women tend not to apply, right? Because if we're not checking, you know, 9 out of 10 boxes or 10 out of 10 boxes, we don't have the same level of confidence as a man to apply for those jobs. So, I mean, I could probably speak to you all day about, you know, some of the challenges, particularly around confidence and women not feeling like they have the personality for sales, right? As I've interviewed young women who are interested in the Girls Who Sell program, I hear time and time again, oh, you know, I can't be in sales, right? I'm shy or I'm analytic or I'm an introvert, or I just don't have the personality for sales. And to me, I mean, one of the things we're really focused on in Girls Who Sell is creating sales archetypes and trying to help women take their personality strengths and help them transition and leverage those as their superpower. And so, I think that's a lot of what's happening. And I think if we can break down, you know, the myths, then I think that we're going to see a lot more women in sales. The one thing I do want to say, Deb, though, is that, you know, too, you know, I think it's not just women, but I think we need to focus on, you know, diverse women and diversity hiring. And that adds a whole other layer of problems,
yeah,
right?
Certainly challenges in that, mm-hmm. as in everything else. And I think, you know, we need to think of sales differently. Of course, I run into this in the Launch Lab all the time. People say, I'm not comfortable selling. You know, I don't feel authentic. It doesn't feel right to me. I had a conversation with a woman yesterday. Actually, she just joined the Standout Webinars program because I said, you know, mm-hmm. you clearly have a value proposition. You're already delivering it as a coach as a side hustle, but getting comfortable in the sales process and that you can teach, you can share, you can solve problems for people, and you can show them a path forward out of their challenges. And that's all sales is really helping people identify that they have a challenge that they can't solve on their own, that you have a solution and you're willing to guide them through it, and asking them, you know, would you like to do this together? So it's very simple. And I think there is that misconception of the used car salesman or the snake oil salesman where you feel gross and slimy after you leave that conversation, but there is an authentic way to sell. And it's career insurance, number one. So I see it as two things. If you can sell, you can do almost anything. You can get a job almost anywhere. Second, you're always selling. No matter what you're doing in your career, that confidence to ask for the order is also the same confidence you need to ask for the promotion, the understanding what's needed for a client to hand over a check to buy whatever you're selling is the same skill that's required to say, hey, I would like to take on this other job. So there's a lot of subtlety in sales that really serves you no matter what you do with your career.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. And I think it's great to have a passion and to be an entrepreneur, but unless you are able to sell your product or service, your business is not going to be successful, right? So I love the way that you position that, because I think if we can just say, you know, it's not sales. Like, let's take sales totally out of the vocabulary and let's just focus on problem solving, right? And connecting dots between, you know, business challenges and solutions. Then I think it has this whole other meaning that women in particular are going to respond to. So you're consulting clients instead of, hey, you know, going out and try to sell your service and, you know, force feed your service down, you know, the throat of somebody who doesn't necessarily need it. No, that's not what this is, right? Like, find someone that actually has a need, and then you can provide the solution, which will make it, that makes a difference. Right. And that you can really impact their business as well. And so, yeah, I think sales is a dirty word. We just need to maybe think of another, you know, way to replace it and reposition it.
Yeah. Extending an invitation for people to work with you. That's a long way of saying it. But, you know, if you're not selling, you're not serving, yes, you don't get to make an impact in the world if you're not able to make an authentic offer. And sometimes women tend to want to give away too much, you know, to solve problems right there and not get paid for it. So there's a little bit of the money mindset that also is part of this challenge of selling and sales. And so I love that you're helping women early on in their career get that confidence to take a step. And didn't you do some research, if I'm remembering correctly, that sales is a path to the C-suite?
Yeah, I did find, and there's not a lot of research out there, but I did find a Forbes article that said that sales is one of the main gateways into executive leadership. And while finance is still the largest, sales is second, accounting for about 20% of the C-level women population. So yes, I believe that sales is definitely the gateway to the C-suite. And I do, and you're more of an expert at this than I am, Deb, but I believe that it's also a gateway to entrepreneurship in general. A lot of female entrepreneurs have come through the sales channel.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a critical skill. You know, if you can't sell yourself, it's going to be really hard to grow the business, no matter what business that you're in. So Heidi, let's switch gears a little bit here. Let's talk about some of the challenges, because it sounds like such a rosy story, right? You came up with the idea in October. By November, you were working on it, you know, unveiled it in January. What are some of the challenges that you've encountered along this path of launching Girls Who Sell?
Yeah, it's definitely not, you know, all a rosy story. You know, one is, you know, funding. I am funding the business, you know, on my own at the moment. And that's part of the reason I haven't made the full transition yet from corporate to entrepreneurship. But trying to get access to funding as a woman and even a white woman right now is extremely challenging. So that's, you know, something that I continue to look into, explore. Corporate, you know, Girls Who Sell, we're looking to fund it primarily, though, through corporate sponsorships. And, you know, particularly because we want to create scholarships and be able to augment the cost of the training programs that we're putting together. And one of the roadblocks that I didn't anticipate is that a lot of it is the process that corporations go through to allocate, you know, corporate sponsorship dollars to companies. And many of them, while they believe in the mission, do not provide sponsorship dollars to for-profit companies. So I've quickly had to address that. And I'm actually now starting a nonprofit foundation side to my business, which I hadn't really thought about that, right? You don't know what you don't know as you launch the business. The other, you know, challenge has just been, you know, being a one-person shop. And although I've put together what I believe to be an incredibly diverse and powerful advisory board, you know, I'm still wearing lots of hats and trying to do everything on my own. So, you know, trying to bring in interns or find other sources like Fervor or other ways to be able to allow me to focus on the strategy of the business and focus on being out there and being in front of, you know, colleges and universities and corporations and the girls themselves. You know, the biggest challenge is freeing myself up from some of the other day-to-day running of the business, you know, putting the ads together and lining up speakers for webinars and all the social media and all the other kind of kind of things, which is fun. I love to do it, but you know, there's only a certain number of hours in the day. So those are some of the challenges that I've come across.
Yeah, your plate is very full, my friend. And I would think, and maybe one of our listeners will have a light bulb connection here and will reach out to you. But I would think that corporations who are looking for more diversity in the workforce and see the benefit of hiring more women would want to partner with you because it's a low cost way of recruiting vetted talent, you know, talent that has been through a training program, that's not someone who is fresh out of college without any perspective on sales, which is what most people get. And then they bring them through their in-house training programs. But someone who has been through the process of acquiring some sales skills, acquiring more confidence, would probably hit the ground running a whole lot faster than someone who is just coming in cold from as a new recruit.
Yeah, I agree with that. And certainly that is the hope, desire, and vision for Girls Who Sell. When I talk about challenges, and you and I have spoken this about this offline, you know, sometimes for me, it's been the chicken and the egg, right? So I've been really focused on developing all of the training content. We've got the initial training program, which is the hashtag Explore Sales, is launching in June. And so I'm hyper-focused right now on developing that content. And then there will be two more robust training programs that will follow on to that by the end of the year, ending with, to your point, a six-week certification program that will really peel back the onion on sales and provide some early stage sales training that young women can take into, whether it's an internship or an entry-level career job. My challenge has been trying to get all the pieces to come together at the same time. And so I just have to every day, you know, just continue to move the ball forward. But, you know, the question when I speak with corporations is, yeah, we believe in your mission. How many girls do you have, you know, signed up for your program? And I'm like, you know, developing the training program. I've got, you know, X number of colleges interested. I've got over 50 girls that, you know, want to participate in a pilot program that we're going to launch in June. And they say, you know what, once you get that done, give me a call. But so it's just, you know, I'm balancing the chicken and the egg. And I just need a couple of, you know, companies at the moment to, and colleges to just jump in and, you know, take a chance. And it's happening. It's happening. I've had some fabulous conversations over the last month with corporations who are like, you know what, this fits in really well with our diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. And yeah, you know, this is something that we're gonna take a further look at. And knowing that you have a vision and a commitment to starting a nonprofit foundation is even more compelling, right? In terms of us evaluating the opportunity. So
this has been so helpful, Heidi. I'm sure there's many people listening to this because corporate sponsorships are a way that many people want to go when they're creating these types of platforms. And I know we had a couple of other people in the Launch Lab at the same time who are looking at mentorship and education of younger women. And it's revealing to understand that it's not so easy. And it is this chicken and egg. They want the numbers, or they want the tax deduction in order to make it viable. But I also love the idea that you're partnering with colleges and universities who might not have the budget to put together the curriculum for something like this, but it really augments their educational process. So I think that's an interesting way to go. And it just turned on a light bulb for me as someone offline I'll introduce you to. But this has been such an enlightening conversation, Heidi. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners who might be thinking about making the leap from corporate to entrepreneur or starting a side hustle?
I just would encourage you to follow your passion and to do it. And you know, and to bring your idea into the world. There's never a good time. There's always going to be competing priorities in your life. And so sometimes, you know, my advice is just do it. Just do it. And then, you know, for your listeners, I'm really accessible. If you go to the Girls Who Sell website, it's girls with a Z, whosell.com. You can reach me. Maybe in the podcast notes, Deb, you can include my email address. But I'm, you know, we're in the early stages of this, and I welcome feedback, advice, guidance as we begin to roll out and expand our business concept. And if you are a corporation and interested in learning more about the business and how you can sponsor young women and build your sales team, I would appreciate you reaching out. And I think that's it.
Heidi, you are full of success. I am so excited to see Girls Who Sell grow and succeed. And it was such a pleasure to have you as part of the Launch Lab experience. So for everyone who is listening, we have Girls Who Sell in the show notes. If you want to reach out to Heidi, make a donation, connect Heidi to someone you know, please do that. And if you have a big idea that you'd like to put into practice, please go to launchlabassessment.com. We'll put that link in show notes as well. Take the assessment. If you qualify for a breakthrough session, let's you and I talk. Let's talk about what it might look like to bring your big idea in the world. So that's it for Life After Corporate this week, my friends. Till next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.